Whether this is her first Mother's Day or her 40th, she deserves more. Shop tons of stunning on-trend jewelry for every budget at Diamonds Direct. Diamond fashion jewelry, beautiful birthstones, everyday pearls, starting at just $200. Commemorate the real loves of her life with a gorgeous pendant featuring the birthstone of the one who made her mom. This Mother's Day, Diamonds Direct is everything you need to say thank you. Diamonds Direct, your love, our passion. Online at DiamondsDirect.com.
Looking for a new show to dive into? Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like the full season of FX's epic limited series Shogun. Oh, I love that one. FX's new international spy thriller The Veil, starring Emmy and Golden Globe winner Elizabeth Moss. And don't miss the all-new crime series Under the Bridge, inspired by shocking true events and starring Riley Keough and Lily Gladstone. It's all new. And it's streaming now on Hulu.
A rested child is a happy child. Sleep Tight Stories is a weekly podcast that brings comfort and joy to families worldwide with calming bedtime stories. The stories are relevant to children and spark wonder without overstimulation, so they can fall asleep and stay asleep. Listen to Sleep Tight Stories on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Or a bedtime routine you'll miss when they're grown? Sleep Tight Stories.
Have you ever taken a full-on punch from your dad back in the day? Like,
Yes. One time when I was like 6 or 7, we were fighting. And
Whoa. Huh? 6 or 7? I was hoping you were in the ring at 20. All right, never mind.
Tosh Show. Show.
Is this thing on? Hey, it's me, Daniel Tosh. Welcome to Tosh Show. Hit the music. All right. Eddie, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Not great.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Yesterday, I was doing laundry for my daughter, and she probably has about 10 pair of socks. Not too many. That's not a ridiculous amount. I don't think I could find a single matching pair. And the problem is her socks are so tiny, because she's so young, that they go inside the crack in the machine. And then you feel like they weren't cleaned. So I just throw them back in the middle. Anyway, that's not the point. So the point was, I was like, I'm just going to order new socks. Now, where do I go to get socks for my daughter? I go to the Gap, babygap.com. And I see the socks, and then I look at the title. Now, I'm going to put this up on the screen. Look at this title, Eddie.
Yeah.
That's called Toddler Lettuce Trim Sock. You have any problem with that?
it doesn't read right.
You're telling me that nobody over at Baby Gap knows what the term lettuce trim is. Either that's a disgruntled employee, like, ha, 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 this will be funny, little Easter egg. For people, I'll name these toddler socks after a woman's disgusting, beefy vagina that needs to get cleaned up. Or they didn't know. I thought it was common knowledge. I thought everyone on this planet knows what a lettuce trim is. Does everyone here know what a lettuce trim is?
I do.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So everyone in this room knows what a lettuce trim is. Nobody over at Baby Gap knows what a lettuce trim is. And then I was like, oh, well, should I get my son this cute scarf called the Rusty Trombone?
Wow.
No, that I made up. Anyway, my daughter's got mismatched socks on currently. You know what this show needs, Eddie?
What?
To take us to the next level? An intern.
Oh, yeah.
I was told that we received our first intern submission, that someone took the initiative to write to us on the contact page of my website. Go ahead, Eddie. Tell me what they said.
Hey, guys, I love the pod. I'd like to intern. Did I mention for free? I'm a University of Minnesota soon-to-be graduate and will do anything for the show besides BJ's. Let me know, Lucas.
Ah, you see how he put that in right at the very end?
Yeah.
I'll do anything for the show, and then accept fellatio. Well, that's I don't even think you need to put that in there.
No, me.
But I mean, it's probably better to have it in print. Like I said, I wasn't going to, and you're like, "Are you sure?" And he's like, "I have the email still." All right. Well, he outsmarted us, Lucas. As much as I appreciate him reaching out to us, I think it would be short-sighted of the show to just give it to him. I think we should open this up, you know, to a wider net. Feel free to send us any submissions of why you should intern on this show. And I'm sure that's going to open tons of doors for you, especially if you're hot. Oh, if you're a smoke show, good chance we'll take your application very seriously. I want someone with some real world experience, an older person, 60 minimum. You know, where they don't necessarily need the work. They don't want to work full time, but they're responsible. They probably could use a lettuce trim. So if you're interested in applying for our prestigious internship that will not pay, will not give you college credit, and you have to sign a strict NDA, check the link below. All right, let's get to today's guest. I'm very excited about this guy. He's a friend of mine. Our children are friends. That's very important to me. Because when we have play dates, I get excited to see him. I enjoy him, and our kids play well together, and I need that to continue. I need to stay in his family's good graces so that his daughter will always protect my son from any bullies. Enjoy. Looking for a new show to dive into? Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time. Like the full season of FX's epic limited series, Shogun. Oh, I love that one. Set in feudal Japan, Shogun tells the story of one warrior in the fight of his life as a mysterious European ship arrives in Japan. Catch FX's new international spy thriller, The Veil, starring Emmy and Golden Globe winner Elizabeth Moss. The Veil is a globe-trotting game of truth and lies between two women with thousands of lives hanging in the balance. And crime fans, don't miss the all-new series Under the Bridge, inspired by shocking true events. Starring Riley Keough and Lily Gladstone, Under the Bridge tells the haunting story of a murder that lays bare a small community's darkest secrets. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
I am the ferryman.
In the shadows of the afterlife, the ferryman of souls guides America's most influential spirits to their eternal rest.
Where are you taking me?
Are you death?
This road is not on any map.
How much for a ticket?
All I ask for in payment is a tale.
I don't know who got to Kennedy first.
And the devastation those first bombs caused.
I've never been to hell, but I know intimately the hymns of the damned.
All 12 episodes of The Passage are available now.
Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
As the number one audio company, iHeartMedia gives you access to all. Every audience, live conversations, trusted influencers, and the insights and data you need to grow. iHeartMedia is your access company. Go to iHeartResults.com for more.
My guest today, the undisputed heavyweight champion of this room, please welcome the one and only George Foreman, III.
Let's get ready to podcast.
I'm going to start off with some simple stuff for you. Now, I understand that you have 22 brothers and 14 moms.
Supposedly.
Is there a chance that your dad is Mormon?
Close. We kind of grew up in a cult. I think Mormons remind me of a cult.
Yep, they do, and they are. Yeah. All right, no, you don't. How many brothers do you have?
I have 5 brothers and then 5 sisters.
Do you think your dad forgot that he already had named his other kids George because of the dangers of boxing?
If you ask him, he always says, like, if you get hit by Muhammad Ali, Joe Frazier, Evander Holyfield, see how many names you'll remember. So he was preparing for memory loss.
Fair enough. What was it like growing up on both sides of the tracks?
It was interesting. It was interesting. So my mom and my dad, they got divorced when I was young, around two. And but, you know, always wanted, my mom wanted my dad to be in my life. We moved to South Carolina for a little bit, and we moved back when I was six.
Your mom wasn't rich?
No.
At all?
No.
And your dad obviously was extremely rich.
Yes. Yes. All right. Right around then, he started getting rich again. He actually was like fully bankrupt right around 86-ish, and then went back to boxing. And by like 91, once again, he was back to making a lot of money.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, my dad would pick me up for church four times a week. And so I would
Why four? That's too many times for church.
No, not
just Sundays.
No. Wednesday night, Saturday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night.
Oh, so, I forgot about Sunday night. Yeah, we used to have to do Sunday night too.
Yeah, you know about that. Oh. But yeah, like that was like, I didn't wear Jordans and all that. But then I go to my dad's house and, you know, he'd have Ferrari, like 20 to 30 cars. Can't count them, 20 to 30 dogs. But eventually when I was like 11, my dad said, enough of this. I'm sending you to boarding school so you can live like us, which I appreciated. But my mom, she gave me other qualities, which were great.
I mean, that's a weird back and forth.
It is like 1 week we'd hop in a private jet, like go here, there, come back. Hop off the jet, and I'd go back and, like, you know, hope the power was on, you know?
But, did you always, like, say, Mom, I love you so much, but can I spend Christmas at Dad's?
We actually had that conversation once, and she won, but I was happy to stay with my mom. I really was.
Why don't I get to call you Monk?
You can call me Monk.
You've never told me to call you Monk.
Oh, well, no, you can call me whatever you want to call me.
Who picked Monk?
My aunt. So my dad's name is Monkey. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot there.
I'm never going to say that. Just so we're all clear.
You can, but this is a story. So
no, I'm not.
No, well, you know, as we all understood. Know, that was a derogatory term.
Yep.
But my dad had a different father than the rest of his brothers and sisters. And they knew, but he didn't know. His mom knew. And they kept it a secret. And so my dad's from a little town in Marshall, Texas.
Uh-huh.
And he grew up on he was born like on a sharecropping farm, basically. His mother and father were sharecroppers, which is code for slaves.
Mm-hmm.
And long story short, my grandma had an affair with a guy about your height, about your complexion, from Texarkana. And he worked on the railroad. He had a good job. And they had George. So my grandfather was, you know, about the color of this mug right here. And so my J.D. Foreman, who should have been my grandfather, they were both very dark. And when my dad came out, he was really light-complected like you. And so typically, like with dark-skinned people, when the baby comes out, around the edges of the ear are dark.
Uh-huh.
And they looked at the baby and they're like, we don't see that. So they waited a few weeks and the baby was still light-complected. And so they started gossiping around the town. And she was so embarrassed and he was so embarrassed. She got out of there. And then all of a sudden, years went by. My brother kept getting taller. I mean, my father kept getting taller and taller than his brothers and sisters, and he never got dark. And so they all knew it. They didn't tell him until he was 27. So as a youngster, they teased him a lot, and they called him all types of names. Monkey was kind of a term they used to tease, and at first it was hurtful, but it became his name, so much that in the streets— he was known as Monkey. So anyway, my aunt was like, we can't have two monkeys in this household. Oh, so I'm going to call him Monk, and I'm going to call your dad Monkey. When I was born, he was like, all right, I'm going to name him George III, but I'm also going to give him my name, Monk, Monkey. And then my aunt shortened it. So here we are.
Okay.
So you can call me Monkey.
I'm never, guess what?
I dare you.
Never calling you Monk. I'm calling you George forever. So this is how we know our children play together a lot. And one time I was at... a playground, and your wife, who, by the way, your wife, a wonderful person, always late, okay? I don't have a question for this. I just want to get that on the air. Just,
always late. She has no concept, zero concept of time.
Holy cow. For the record, George's wife, Sarah, is white. And when I was listening to this back, I realized that I didn't bring that up. And then when implying that she's always late, I'm like, oh, no. That sounds like I'm perpetuating a racist stereotype about black people, which I wasn't. And I see color, you know, and even though technically white is the absence of color. But I wasn't implying. So now I want you to know that she was white, and that was why I was comfortable saying that. Or I would be comfortable saying it. Now, had she been Cuban, that's a different thing. Because I lived in Miami for a bit, and Cuban time is something that we always say, implying that Cubans are always a half hour to an hour late. But I assume that's also racist.
So maybe I shouldn't bring that up. The real thing about his wife, to be honest with you, forget the fact that she's always late. She swears like a sailor.
She was talking to this other parent, this guy, and I was not in the conversation. I happened to just be kind of overhearing as I was walking by. And he goes, oh, which daughter is yours? And I walked by right at that moment. And I go, oh, the one that looks like George Foreman. And I kept walking. And he goes, oh, is she black? And then she, you know, because she's great at kind of awkward conversations, was like, well, yes, she is. And it was just, oh, it was great. It was the greatest moment.
It was funny, though. I heard there was a moment where he was looking around trying to figure it out, you know?
Oh, he had no idea what it was. He was so mortified that he said, well, what is she, black? Oh, I was like, oh, this is good. I just made an awkward conversation.
We also became friends.
Your daughter is very strong. Physically, she's tall, like going to be an athlete. I'm going to tell you a story about your daughter that you might not know. She made my son cry.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, but I don't want you, it's not, your instinct is wrong of why she did. She was talking to him and she was like, you know, my dad is stronger than your dad. And I told my son, that's true. I go, he's a lot stronger than me. It's okay. And he got so upset and he was crying. And I go, it's okay. You don't have a strong dad. But hold on. But then I said, but I can dive better than her dad.
True.
Because you came, you were in Tahoe once. We were jumping off some rocks, some cliffs, yeah. And I watched you dive, and it was poor. It wasn't great.
It was a cannonball.
And I say, you know what? That's actually a better trait than being stronger. If you're going to watch the Olympics, what event are you going to watch? Are you going to watch a lifting competition? No, it barely gets coverage. But diving, that's NBC, that's prime time diving. So I was telling my son that diving is actually, that's a better trait.
You're a badass in the water. You are.
By the way, I take your daughter has swim class at my house once a week. And literally last week I watched her do two full laps, long ways, just killed it. Now, she used to not even want to get her face wet or anything like that. And this is one of the moments in my life that I think I'm the most, top three proudest moments. Your daughter couldn't swim at the time and hated being in the water. Yeah. And I got her in the water and took her wake surfing with you on the back of the boat, just like waiting to murder me if something went wrong.
Wow! I've never done anything with myself like that. With my daughter like that before, and I will never do anything like that with my daughter after, just with you. Because I was sitting there and I was like looking at it, and my wife was like, what do you think? And I was like, you know what? Sure. Because number one, I know you, and I was like, he would die if anything happened. Number two, I was like, this would be a pretty good lawsuit. I could just see this. And I've never sued anybody, but I've been sued, so I know what a good lawsuit is.
Oh,
and
no.
I was like, this one would be awesome.
In hindsight, I was like, that was really, really, really brave of me. Your dad was obviously a strict father.
Yes.
So I mean, some of that is filtered onto you. You've got some conservative roots for sure.
Yeah.
Now, one of the other fathers at pickup, I've heard this through the grapevine, but it's such a good story that it makes me laugh. He asked if you would be interested because he's a producer in starring in some gay porn, and I was like, this is. This is the greatest thing I'd ever heard. I laughed so hard. I was like, this little guy went up to True. George and asked him, hey, would you be interested? You know, totally professional. Not wasn't giving you drinks or anything like that. What went through your brain? Were you like, oh, we got to leave? We can't live in a place like this where I'm being asked this at school pickup?
I was like, number one, like, where do you get the nerve to ask me like that? And then he followed up and I said, I don't know if I don't know if I could do that. And he was like, well, you'll never make it in Hollywood if you don't. The funniest thing about that guy, by the way, was that he was like, you know, like going on and on about how he's like a movie producer and so on and so forth. And I met him a couple times and then finally like pulled me to the side and he was like, I made my money in porn.
Uh-huh.
Because he had all these stories about like how he lives in Malibu. You know, everybody like has their story, which is fascinating. But he was hiding that one. Then he said, I'd like to cast you in.
So when does the movie come out? I didn't know this for a long time. You used to date Kim Kardashian.
I forgot. How'd you know that? Did Sarah tell you that?
I don't disclose my sources. No, I have no idea.
That's true.
Was this pre-Ray J, post-Ray J?
In the midst of the breakup.
Oh, wow.
All right, so I'll just go through facts.
By the way, I'm not one of these people that wants to hear another man kiss and tell. I think that's tacky. But if you want to talk about eating ass, I'm all ears.
It's actually a pretty funny story. So there's no like really kiss or tell because I was like, I actually like really liked her. She's like super.
Well, sure. I would really like her too.
Super polite. There was nothing on the internet about her. Like she was a stylist and would manage like wardrobes for people. She was working for Paris Hilton. And I was just like the perfect gentleman. And I was like, I want to meet your family. I want to meet Bruce at the time. Now it's Caitlin. Both are great.
Still her dad.
Yep. And I want to meet your mom. Met her sisters. They were small at the time. And I remember like taking Kylie and the other one and just being like, can you please get them off me? I didn't know they were going to be big stars.
You would have left them on you.
I would have been much nicer. They're just bad kids at the time. And I was just like always like respectful. And this went on for like 5 or 6 months. And finally, she texts me one day and she goes, are you a virgin?
Oh.
Because I was being such a gentleman.
Uh-huh.
And so, and of course, I was like, no. I was like, I'm just, this is how you're supposed to treat women, you know? And so, and then shortly thereafter, about a month later, the news hit. And of course, like I've been telling my brothers and my best friends about like, I'm dating this girl. She's cool. Like, I think this could be the one of the ones, you know, whatever. Like, she's special. And the news comes out and they're all texting me like, ha ha. And they're sending me videos. And of course, like I went through that, which is completely fine.
That's a tough thing to go through though.
No. Whatever.
I mean, you were smack dab in the middle of it. Holy cow.
But I made it my business to double down on our friendship, right? Because at that point, we had like a week or right before that, we had kind of like broken up. It was my fault. And because I was being a little bit of a punk. Long story short, I was like, you know what? At a time where everybody's backing away, we're going to have a real friendship.
And well, we've sure. Made, once maintained you, once our friendship you, since once then. You saw how good it was.
No. You're not. Well, no, it was unfair. Like, really. I mean, it was unfair because it's like, it was her boyfriend.
Mm-hmm. That was beautiful. I had no issue with it. She's got some hustle.
They're doing the same thing everybody does at home.
And except for you and her.
And now everybody just got to see it. Like, can you imagine if anybody had a camera on what we do at home?
Oh, man. That'd be the worst 2.5 minute video ever.
I thought it was just unfair. So I'm glad she played it the way she did.
Do you think about how much better, different your life would be if you would have married Kim Kardashian? I didn't mean to say better.
Nah, I mean, unfortunately, I tell you, I'm dyslexic like that. I don't really think like that. Mm-hmm. I always think maybe, you know, those are the... We had different journeys, and it is what it is. She's now two doors down from me, though, which is weird.
Yeah, you're real good friends with her mom, Chris. That's great and weird.
Once again, I always wanted to get to know a lady's parents because I feel like when you marry them, you're marrying their parents.
So. You know what? I wish I would have talked to you before I got married. My wife would get very paranoid, or I would add to it. If she was going to feed you, she'd be like, oh, we got to get more food. There's not enough. I would be like, whatever you're doing, like triple it. A normal day. And by the way, I've also seen your comically silly cereal bowl that you like to eat cereal out of something, which is...
Love cereal, man. That's my vice.
I mean, by the way, those boxes have gotten so much, like the bags in it are so small.
Yeah.
Are you eating like
a bag at a time?
A whole box of cereal.
Easy. Yeah. I'll crush a bit.
That's really funny.
What's yours?
My biggest vice?
No. No.
Heroin.
Heroin.
It's always been my vice. I love food, but then I get sick. I get sick and my stomach just flushes everything out.
Oh, you might be gluten. You might have a gluten allergy.
Yeah, and I don't care enough to like figure it out. I'd rather just go sit on the toilet for 45 minutes. Now, as a black man, did you enjoy today driving from your home in Calabasas to come here to work with three white guys in Baldwin Hills?
It is interesting. I find culture very interesting. I'll tell you two things. What I did find fascinating, I've never been to Baldwin Hills, and I've never been to a Starbucks where all the employees are black, all the people online are black. Mm-hmm. And number two, I've never been to a Starbucks that moved so quickly. Like, they were churning in there. Like, it was so well run. But number two, like, I was raised not to see race, so I actually don't see race. It might be a disorder or something like that. I was in my household, we were raised, we couldn't use the word white or black. Like, mm-hmm. You might as well have said the F word. You'd be better off versus calling someone white, black, or even like Mexican. You couldn't say that. You had to say they're from Mexico. Because uh-huh. my dad didn't believe in that. I have all these moments all the time where I'm like, I forget I'm the only black person in the room.
So you're telling me if you described me, you wouldn't say, when would you say white?
I would never say it.
You would never bring it up in describing me.
No. I would talk about who you are, where you're from.
Right, but I'm saying if you're like, what's he look like?
I would say you look like somebody who looks like you. Mm-hmm. I'd be like, he's
your grandpa.
He's. I would say I would reference someone and be like, oh, he's the same complexion as if it mattered.
Well, hey, I'll tell you when you saw color as a former neighbor of mine. First of all, for people that don't know, you stopped boxing, I don't know, a decade ago?
Yep.
All right. That's right. So you're gonna fight again. But you started training, and then you had a post on Nextdoor app.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, guys, I'm training for a fight, or I'm training. I'm going to be jogging at night. So if you see a huge black man running through Malibu, don't call the police or don't shoot me. And I'm paraphrasing. I'm paraphrasing.
A direct quote.
But no, direct. I don't know if I have a screenshot of it, but that's real. You knew that you didn't know that you didn't have to do that, but you're like, you know what? I'm going to do this because unfortunately a lot of other people do see color.
Which I'm fully aware of.
Okay. Yeah.
So then we moved out here in Malibu, and I said, you know what? Let's go to the best place. We found this little gated neighborhood. And because I want safety just from everything, right?
Sure.
Just from everybody. You have to be careful, especially in LA. And I was getting ready to get in shape and start running again because I do want to fight. And I started running around. I was terrified. And I actually never get scared. I like don't register fear that well either. I think that's a form of disorder.
It's and also from just being strong.
So I looked at my wife. I came back because I like my run was only 20 minutes. She's like, why did you only run so long? I said, you know what? I realized I don't want to, I got to come back home to Hannah. And no matter what I think, like if someone shoots me, like you just see it on the news. Maybe I watch too much news, but that's why I put it out there. I did not say a black guy, but my profile clearly shows I'm the same color as my grandma.
Well, and, I just was like, you know, who's not having to put that post up? A white guy. So I felt like that's, oh, look at that. That's horrible that you have to, but
it's all good, man. It's
all just, right. Let me tell you my thoughts on boxing first, because I got to be honest with you. I don't like boxing. Like, I don't like the UFC.
Yeah.
And here's why. I can't watch people fighting. It makes me sick to my stomach a little bit. And I've always been like that. Whenever like a fight broke out in school and everybody crowded around, I was the kid that was like, oh no, oh, this is bad. This is bad. Let's stop them. Fighting's always made me feel really weird.
It's boxing. If you train to boxing, you realize like when it's a sport and you're trained to see the punches coming, they don't hurt that bad. Number one, the head shots don't really hurt. It's the body shots that hurt. And you'll probably look at boxing different once you box with me, right?
I'm almost 50. There's no way I'm getting punched.
My dad was fighting when he was 50.
Yeah. But he fought when he was 20 too. So it's a little different. It's not even a mental thing. I physically feel ill watching people fight.
I feel like that during UFC though, because in boxing, it's a gentleman's sport, so to speak. And people do foul sometimes, but you're supposed to, once a guy can't fight anymore, you're supposed to back off and let the referee do his job. In MMA, and I have full respect for UFC and Dana White, and I love what they've accomplished, but you hit a guy, he goes down, he's actually knocked unconscious, but kind of moving still. Mm-hmm. You can be out on your feet and still be lucid.
Of course.
And then you go down and you start banging his head until the ref stops it. I think that's inappropriate. I actually can't watch UFC. I actually get sick the same way, and I'm a fighter.
Here's another thing I don't understand about boxing. Always having to hate your opponent, whether it's the pre-fight stuff, where I've thought this for a long time. Wouldn't it be funny if the guy was like, I love this guy. He's great. I wish him the best. I'm because you know, I bring it to basketball. like Michael Jordan, like he always had to hate his opponent. He could, you know, but now generations like LeBron, like they can go out to dinner and they can play basketball that night. It's not like he's not going to try to kill him on the court.
Yeah.
You know, the two don't have to go hand in hand is what I'm saying. You don't have to hate somebody to compete against them.
I think that there's two reasons. Number one, boxing comes from the same place WWF comes from, Madison Square Garden. Mm-hmm. And then it was the same promoters. They would work together and promote boxing the same way they did wrestling. It's you have Pee Wee Herman versus King Kong, and Pee Wee Herman wins. Oh, my God, we got to see a rematch, right? And so that's how boxing was promoted. And eventually it became more about the sport and the competition. And there aren't that great, but there's a direct line between P.T. Barnum and Don King, like mentor, friend, and so on and so forth. And so we knew we had to hype these fights up. Otherwise, no one cares. And then what happens now, though, is everybody knows we got to talk up the fight because otherwise it's boring and there's no story. Every boxer knows the fight starts when you sign the contract, right? Because you got to get the psychological advantage. But what happens is the both fighters know, hey, we got to talk it up. And at some point, someone goes too far, and now it becomes a real fight. And also, you're trying to win the exchange. So I think that's what happens. And it
all
helps. Right.
I mean, I all of that makes sense. It's a roast battle. How were you 16-0 in your career?
Yeah.
And then you retired.
Yeah.
Who does that?
Well, two things. So when I was training, I don't know if it's a myth, but when you're training, you have to be celibate.
You don't. That's another thing that's probably made up.
I don't.
Whoever came up with that was...
Why take a chance? So that was my attitude. So for like 5 years, I'm celibate. You know, you're kind of like excited not to have to be like that.
Yeah, of course.
Put it that way.
What if you weren't and then all of a sudden had the best fight of your life? Would you be like, oh, that's way better?
I don't know, man. I'm not willing to take that chance. I'm not. At least you got to abstain for at least 6 to 8 weeks. And I was fighting every 6 to 8 weeks.
I would masturbate on the way to the ring. See what happens.
I'd love to fight you.
Boxers always have rappers bring them to the ring a lot of times. I see that on big fights. Yeah. I think it'd be cool if you had like a comic and I'm just doing material on the way to the ring. You ever notice?
I think it would be a better fit than rapping.
You know the worst time I ever saw you get hit? It's not boxing. It was when you walked into a giant umbrella at that restaurant. You remember you turned and hit that thing right in your head? I was like, oh.
That hurts. That was actually worse than I've ever been punched before. Seriously. Seriously, man. I can take a punch, but that was horrible.
I want to get back to the question that I asked you, which is you were 16-0, and then you just walked away. But were you a champion at 16-0? Did you ever get – what level do you get to at 16-0?
Boxing's a wild, wild west of sports. There's no proper league. There's like four belts,
right,
which are sanctioning bodies. Then there's separate promoters, separate networks. It's not concentrated, the power and the control like UFC, which is why the sport – struggles. So for me, I didn't have an amateur career. I had 16 fights just fighting, honestly, whoever they would put in front of me to get experience in front of crowds, to get used to that. And also to, like, when you fight, only 20% of what you can do makes it to the ring. And then as you get more experience, 80% of what you can do in the gym makes it to the ring. So it was about preparation. But honestly, at that, it was, you know, becoming the most popular fighter, proving that I can compete. And then it was about fighting for the heavyweight title. And that's still my goal to this day. I only put it down because I didn't want to make my living off of boxing because I was too scary to, like, if I don't get a fight, I can't pay my bills. So I started a gym to make money between fights.
How many gyms do you have now?
Right now I have four locations. One is mine in Calabasas. The other are franchises in Canada.
Well, let's talk about your employees. You're not afraid to look at a resume and go, oh, it says here you were in prison for a while.
No. I mean, I owe a lot of it to my dad. Number one, my dad was a criminal. He was thrown in jail multiple times before 16.
Anything horrible?
Just beating up people.
Okay.
Beating up his friends, stuff like that. He was an angry guy, but he literally used to charge a tax to people to cross streets. Like, you can't cross the street unless you pay George. He's gone on to do some great things.
I wish that's what he was still doing.
Well, remember.
To make money. Just telling people, you want to cross the street? They're like, the crosswalk signal's on. He's like, no.
I actually met a guy. He's like, I always looked up to your dad. And I was like, why? Because I was thinking the boxing and the grills. And he said, man, I heard he used to charge a tax for people to walk to cross the street. And he's like, that blew my mind. And this is like a real, like, dude, you know what I mean? Like a serious dude, if you know what I mean. My point on that was I grew up, I never beat anybody up in school. I was beat up once. And
Who beat you up?
I was first grade. I just moved back to be closer to my father. And a group of kids called me the N-word. And of course, I had something to say about that.
Uh-huh.
And I tried to like fight, and they grabbed my hands, pulled me back, and beat me up.
Right. Okay. So you like got jumped. That's different.
I got jumped.
No kid in first grade's one-on-one beating you up.
No. But I got jumped and like held down and beat up. And so I told my dad about it and whatever. And he was like, look, he said, if you're going to fight in school, you need to be prepared to come home and fight me.
Okay.
You're not going to fight in school. And so I said, you know what? I backed down from every fight or bluffed my way out of it because I was literally more afraid of what would happen to me when I would come home.
Yeah. At home's the heavyweight champ. At school is just a little prick.
So when my neighbor comes up to me with a pistol or someone says I've been in jail for 17 years, I just see a human. I'm not afraid of them. I'm more afraid of my dad.
You could take your dad right now.
I don't know. He still punches pretty hard.
That'd be the fight. Let's get that on the books. Hey, what is the deal when your first few fights coming up? The people, are you just picking somebody to punch in the head? How's it work?
Yeah, I mean, look, you know, some people call them bums or whatever, but okay. I think, look, it's a feat to walk in the ring and take your shirt off and fight in front of 3,000 to 6,000 or 20,000 people. But it's literally everybody does it because it's how you get sharp and it's how you get yourself in front of fans. Like, I don't know if you like practice material or you used to.
Yes, of course I do.
It's like that. And then when you're like, yo, I got this down, then it's time to put it all on the line. But every time you walk in the ring, you're risking your entire career. You can get knocked out. So you only take the big risk when there's a big paycheck.
That's not considered fixed, though, right?
No. Okay. No. That stopped in, like, maybe the 60s, 70s.
What, a fixed fight?
Yeah, and they wouldn't so much. I mean, they would remember the mob controlled boxing until 70s. But remember, they also controlled gambling. So there were things like, hey, there's this champion and this guy who everybody thinks can beat the champion. Let's have this fight. And they would ask the champion, hey, don't fight too hard. Make it competitive. You're going to lose this one. So they can have a rubber match and have the second and third. It's a controversial loss. Everybody wants to see the next fight, so it's even bigger. And then you're going to win the second fight. Well, now everybody wants to see the tiebreaker, and then the tiebreaker is a fair fight. And people kind of just knew that. And that those are the types of things they would do to make great fights, but also make money on the gambling side.
Do you gamble ever?
I do slot machines.
Uh-huh.
I don't know how to gamble. I'm like not that smart. Oh, I would love to gamble with you, though.
I enjoy gambling. Yeah. What's your favorite boxing movie?
Raging Bull.
Mm-hmm.
If you know boxing and you're from the culture, that they have it down to a T, because when you become great and you're fighting, you get really paranoid. And I don't know if you've seen it, but there's a scene where he accused his brother of sleeping with his wife.
Mm-hmm.
That was box. That's the life of a prize fighter.
Mine's Coming to America.
What's your favorite part?
Well, just the boxing barbershop scene.
Joe Louis.
Yeah.
that was classic. Eddie Murphy's nuts.
By the way, I know this because you were at my house last night. You don't listen to this show. You haven't watched this show. Every episode, I appreciate people taking time out, but I also hate having stuff at my house. I give them something from my house that I don't want anymore. And I say, here, you take this. And that's your gift for being on the show. So today, this is what I got you, George, for being on the show.
Hold on. Let me grab it. I want your house. Can you give me that?
I got you my bounce house.
Oh, my. Are you serious?
Be careful. It's heavy. Oh, you can handle anything. So the last night, the kids are playing in the bounce house, and he's like, do you own your own bounce house? I'm like, yeah, I own my bounce house. So now I'm giving it to you so that you and your daughter, oh, it's a good ring for her. And
oh my God.
On rainy days, this thing it fits inside. You move some furniture.
I can't fit this in my house, but no, I'm going to put this to good use.
You'll find a place for it. It'll be great. It'll be great. You ever taken a full on punch from your dad back in the day? Like,
yes. One time when I was like 6 or 7, we were fighting. And
Whoa. Huh? 6 or 7? I was hoping you were in the ring at 20. All right, never mind.
He really didn't punch me. He like snapped a punch right at, you know, he could pull the punch back right before he hit you. And that was one. That didn't hurt. We were play fighting. But then when I became a boxer, my dad was my trainer and my manager for 6 years. One day he was like, hey, if I'm going to train you, I only know what type of fighter you are if I get in the ring with you. So we got in the ring together for the whole week, and he wouldn't wrap my hands. He wouldn't talk to me. He would go in the corner and be like, you know, get over there. Like, you're just another fighter now. And for the whole week, he was about 63 years old. We sparred every single day. And I was just running like Ali, literally. And finally, he was like, I'm going to get a hold of you. Like the fourth day, he reached over and leaned to the left, and he was about to hit me so hard in my liver. I remember it. And he pulled back, and he kind of looked at me like, don't get ahead of yourself. Like, I can still whip your ass. So that happened.
Are you the one person that doesn't love Muhammad Ali because he beat up your dad?
I don't know. I mean, there's two parts to that. I have a lot. Muhammad Ali was a great fighter. I respect him and so on and so forth. But the part, like, had he not beat my dad, neither one of them would be legends, in my opinion. I think where I was, the only thing I would ever hold against him is that he didn't give him a rematch.
Yeah.
But he was, Ali, he was washed up at the time, so to speak. He was on his way out. He fought him. Everybody convinced my dad to fight Ali because that was what you did back then. It was traditional. If there was a big champ, you give him one more payday so he can retire.
Right.
And then you absorb his fan base. And so my dad was like, all right, just pay me. I'll fight him. And the only guys to beat Ali at that point were Joe Frazier, who my dad beat in two rounds. I love boxing, so bear with me.
No.
Kenny Norton broke his jaw. My dad beat him inside two rounds. And then Ali's 34 at the time, which is old in boxing. And so they're like, George is going to kill him. And so once again, he was like, if I beat him, I'm not going to get credit. If I hurt him, people are going to hate me. But this is $5 million. It's the biggest payday ever in sports history. So he did it. And but then Ali beat him. And everybody said, oh, my God, this guy came. It's like Superman. He was in an impossible situation and won. Now he's the greatest of all time. So I think that's really cool. And then 20 years later, my dad was able to get his title after losing it. And now he became great because he's 46 years old, redeeming himself. So I think it worked out for both of them. Uh-huh. That's the way it was supposed to happen.
All right, now I'm going to get into the grill because it's just going to make me laugh. It wasn't like this was a slam dunk. It wasn't like, oh, your dad was just such a business genius. It was like they brought him this, and he was like, ah, whatever. And then he asked for 16 grills.
All true. So so we're bankrupt. My dad fights 20 times in like 3 years.
He's bankrupt because he spends.
He spends, number one. He gives. Uh-huh. Can't say no to people. And also, the guy who manages his money stole it.
This is when you don't hire felons for certain positions.
These white collar crimes are way worse. But
agreed.
He made $13 million to fight Holyfield. Then it was $10 million. So the commercials he would get paid for, six hour shoot, $250,000, $300,000. This is like, we're thrilled to make this type of money. He doesn't have to get hit, and so that's what he's used to. So a friend of his had a friend who was with him in college and said, hey, we have this grill that my friend is marketing. It's been taken off the shelves before. We can't really get it going, but how about you promote it? And he's like, fine, just pay me about $200,000 to $400,000 and I'll be there for 6 hours. Mm-hmm. They're like, no. Then they said, well, let's form a joint venture. We'll provide the operations. You provide your time and your name, and you'll own 20% of it, 22% of it, 23%. No.
What was his magic number? What was his magic number?
16 grills.
16 grills.
So finally the
offer. And what percentage?
The offer got up to 45% of a joint venture.
Uh-huh.
And after all the expenses were paid, he'd keep the profit, 45% of the profit.
And 16 free grills.
My
because
mom,
he liked them.
Well, my mom had been cooking grilled cheese for us. There's so many of us and his steaks. And the Teflon rubbed off. And so he said, I want 16 grills, which is enough for the Teflon to rub off and still have one, enough for my homes and enough for mm-hmm. my mother.
Okay.
And he said, I'll give you a half day shoot. And that got the deal done.
And how many years went by before it exploded?
So that the deal was signed in 93. At the end of 94, he, by a fluke, got a heavyweight title shot and won. And now he's on the cover of Sports Illustrated, Athlete of the Year. And they're like, wow, we got this guy for cheap. It still wasn't doing good. So
right?
They kept promoting it. And they said, George, we want to tweak it and take the videos of you boxing and show videos at home with your kids cooking, actually using it. And then they just put everything behind it. And by 1997...
Then things started to change.
He had his last fight. He was 49, lost a decision. They come in and give... His manager came and gave him a check, his attorney, for $1 million. And that was just 1 month of his 45%. And at that point, he was like, I think I can retire.
So now he got a million a month. What's the most... He was making like $5 million a month.
$5 million
just off the grill. And then they got fed up. They're like, we can't keep paying you this much money. So they're like, how much just to own your name on this grill forever? And you walk away and they're like, you're like, 128 million? What was the number?
There was a publicly traded company. So they had to report at some uh-huh. point and say, like, why is all this money going out the door? So they offered him 137 million.
Oh, beautiful.
20 of it was stock. And the stock went up when they did the deal because now the company's going to be more profitable. So it ended up being about 170-ish million.
I know for a fact that you have a Weber.
Yes, I have a Weber. Come on, man. Come on.
Do you think in hindsight, your dad, if your dad could have had that grill money, do you think he would have not fought that final comeback run?
Yes, he didn't want to fight.
Even though he became the heavyweight champion again?
Look, my dad, he said if he had a college degree, he would have been a teacher. He was a preacher, and he's like, this is all I know how to do. And he did love boxing, but no, he wouldn't. No way with that
type
of money.
I wonder if people ever went to his church and went, hey, isn't that the guy that used to charge us to walk across the street? By the way, I just recently saw, because I look at some blogs of cars and stuff, he just unloaded the most, like 100 cars.
And he still has a lot more.
Of course he does. And I'm just like going through these cars and like, it's like they're so random. And then like, and they all have like 3,000 miles on them. They're like nothing.
He had a Beetle with 200 miles on it. Yeah. Volkswagen Beetle. Yeah.
Your dad also has right now over 100 dogs. True or false?
True. That we know of. He hides them from my mom.
And you guys sell them or?
It's a pleasure thing. He'll sell them if like he finds a good home. You know, sometimes he'll just give them to people because he cares about the home. He's literally Dr. Doolittle. We grew up with crocodiles, antelope, elk. Let's see, monkeys, lemurs, cows, of course, horses, over 100 horses.
Right. It's, you understand why he went bankrupt a couple times, right? Like, you can't have a zoo. Like, that's not, zoos are run by the city. Like, that's, is your dad getting sweeter as he gets older?
He's always been a puppy dog.
Right, but he's been tough to the kids.
He was just strict.
Right. Well, strict and puppy dogs are far apart.
Yeah, I think, he's definitely way more lenient. And he's soft. Like, even his ministry is, you know, when it started, it was like, the Bible says what the Bible says, and that's what we're preaching. And now it's the doctrine of love. He's like, if it's in the Bible, but it violates me loving somebody, then I'm not for it.
Uh-huh.
So he's definitely softened up a little bit. That's nice to hear.
The first question I ask all my guests.
Yeah.
Do you believe in ghosts?
Yes. Yes, I do. I can't disprove it. And I had one incident in the Langham Hotel where there was a butler. Our room came with a butler, and my dad and my mom were in the next room and they were asleep. And I was looking at the door. I'm eating my room service and the door just closes and I run to the door. And long story short, I won't explain the context. I'm sure it was a ghost.
But that's it. That's from that moment. You're like, well, ghosts are real because of this moment. Of one door that swung closed or opened. Which was it, opened or closed?
It was slightly open.
It was slightly opened and then it closed. Shut. Yeah. That meant just a draft, something came through.
It was a ghost, man. Because that hotel, I don't know if it's still called the Langham, it was an old hospital.
Uh-huh. Yeah, old. That's a key word in this because old stuff, always things happen.
Do you believe in ghosts?
No. Of course I don't.
Why not?
I don't know, because I just don't.
All right.
True or false, you're considering doing that porn. George. You
know what? I got to feed my family, but no. Hopefully things will never get to that point.
you've got a wonderful family. You've got a wonderful gym. And, you know, if you want a box, I'm going to, obviously I'll root for you, but I'm probably not going to pay-per-view for it.
No, you
won't. I'll pirate it if possible. No. But thank you for being on the show, George.
Thank you, man. I appreciate had a great time talking to you.
Looking for a new show to dive into? Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time. Like the full season of FX's epic limited series Shogun. Oh, I love that one. Set in feudal Japan, Shogun tells the story of one warrior in the fight of his life as a mysterious European ship arrives in Japan. Catch FX's new international spy thriller, The Veil, starring Emmy and Golden Globe winner Elizabeth Moss. The Veil is a globe-trotting game of truth and lies between two women with thousands of lives hanging in the balance. And crime fans, don't miss the all-new series Under the Bridge, inspired by shocking true events. Starring Riley Keough and Lily Gladstone, Under the Bridge tells the haunting story of a murder that lays bare a small community's darkest secrets. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
I am the ferryman.
In the shadows of the afterlife, the ferryman of souls guides America's most influential spirits to their eternal rest.
Where are you taking me?
Are you death?
This road is not on any map.
How much for a ticket?
All I ask for in payment is a tale.
I don't know who got to Kennedy first.
And the devastation those first bombs caused.
I've never been to hell, but I know intimately the hymns of the damned.
All 12 episodes of The Passage are available now. Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Welcome to Season 9 of Next Question with me, Katie Couric. It is 2024, and we're going to get through this together, folks. My campaign promise to all of you here on Next Question is going to be a good time the whole time, we hope. I have some big news to share with you in our season premiere featuring Kris Jenner, who's got some words of wisdom for me on being a good grandmother, or in her case, a good lovey.
You know, you start thinking of what you want your grandmother name to be. Like, are they going to call me grandma like I called my grandmother? So I got to choose my name, which is now Lovey.
I'll also be joined by Hillary Clinton, Renee Fleming, Liz Cheney, to name a few. So come on in and take a break from the incessant negativity for a weekly dose of fascinating conversations. Some of them, I promise, will actually put you in a good mood.
I loved it. Your energy and joy.
I'm squeezing every minute I can for you out of this season of Next Question.
Last question, I promise. You have to go. I have to go. But it's been so fun.
And I can't wait for you to hear it. Listen to Next Question with me, Katie Couric, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Posh Show.
Well, Carl, that was a delight. Thank you very much, George. And I will be calling you George for the rest of my life and nothing else, just George. You know what I admire so much about George is that he has just so much respect and he's proud of his dad. And that's just kind of neat. I could learn from that a little bit. But then again, my dad wasn't the heavyweight champion of the world. You know, my dad worked at Human Resources and it's just not as cool. It's just harder to be so proud of that. I should, he's because you know, his dad was strict, probably too strict, but whatever. That's a good thing that they've got going. And I'm glad that George Sr. is in good health. That's great. I'm happy that he was on the show. All right. Check out my tour dates. I'm performing all over the place. Get a ticket. Come see me. It's enjoyable. BoysWearPink.com. Check out the charitable clothing company for toddlers. The Goat, premiering on Freebie and Amazon. Probably going to be the biggest reality show since Who Wants to Marry a Millionaire. Remember that show?
Oh, yeah.
That shitty comic that had one house that was barely worth $1 million, so they called him a millionaire.
Yep.
Oh, that's funny.
Rick Rockwell.
Good name, Paul, Eddie. Jesus. Good Lord. All right, now it's time for one of my son's bedtime stories that we recorded when he was 3 years old. Enjoy the animation and whatever I think he said. I try to ask him sometimes, like, what do you think you said right here? And he's like, I don't know. And I'm like, he's so mad. I just make him sit there. I'm like, well, then you can't get up from the table. Like 3 hours later, Dad, I don't know what I said. Tell me what the shark ate. See you next week.
I'm telling the same story, but a different zone in it.
You're going to tell me a different version of the same story? All right, let's hear it.
Once upon a time in Tahoe, the payment played a lot. They ran around. But he liked to fit down height until suddenly something happened. My head broke off. And then somebody came out with a penguin and a baby penguin. Oh, she said she was a baby.
I don't like this story at all. It's not good. It doesn't make sense, and it is really hard to understand. I don't like it when your stories have voices, because your voice is already on the scale of tough to understand. And then when you do voices, it's like, what are we talking about at this point? See what I'm saying? I can't understand that.
Just fine as a baby. I get a big
girl. Okay, you're still doing it.
But don't talk about my older.
What's 156 times 28?
Dosandosone.
That's pretty good.
Hey guys, I have to remind you, wherever you're listening to this podcast, to make sure that you rate it. But rate it 5 stars. If you're going to rate it 4 stars, you know what? Don't even bother. 5 stars, please. Also, subscribe. That matters. Subscribe and rate, but rate high. Looking for a new show to dive into? Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time. Like the full season of FX's epic limited series, Shogun. Oh, I love that one. FX's new international spy thriller, The Veil, starring Emmy and Golden Globe winner Elizabeth Moss. And don't miss the all-new crime series, Under the Bridge, inspired by shocking true events and starring Riley Keough and Lily Gladstone. It's all new and it's streaming now on Hulu.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.